the morning falls on the farthest hill, I will sing his name, I will praise him still. When dark trials come and my heart is filled with the weight of doubt, I will praise him still. For the Lord our God, he is strong to save from the arms of death, from the deepest grave. And he gave us life in his perfect will, and by his good grace I will praise him. When the morning falls on the farthest hill, I will sing his name, I will praise him still. When dark trials come and my heart is filled with the weight of doubt, I will praise him. For the Lord our God, he is strong to save from the arms of death, from the deepest grave. For the Lord our God, he is strong to save from the arms of death, from the deepest. Perfect will, and by his good grace I will praise him. On the farthest hill, I will sing his name, I will praise him still.
Across the North Atlantic, on a strange and distant shore, a vast and fertile land rose from the sea. A land of milk and for the pilgrim and the poor, a land where brave souls wandered to breathe free. And here his people gathered, who were called by his son's name, and here they carved a place in history. Through wars and bloody sacrifice, their new promised land became the shining lamp of liberty. This is my promised land, my promised. Conceived with a love for liberty, God's gift to you and me. This is my promised land. delivered by God's own hand. Born in blood, this nation was, this land of liberty. Throughout the changing ages, there shall never be a land as glorious as my America. And heavenly by the Father's hand, where angels sing his praise, hallelujah. But sin has always changed the course of nations in the past. Now sin, it seems, restrains our destiny. Our liberties are waning, and our dreams are fading fast. Lord, it's not the land it used to be, but it's still my promised land. It is still my promised land, conceived with a love for liberty. God's gift to you and me, it's still my promised land, and your promised land. Born in blood, this nation was, this land. God makes his home in heaven and inside his people's hearts. And here on earth he's made this country mine. Dear God, return your blessings on this promised land of ours. Dear God, I pray until the end of time. For nations have conspired and combine their minds and might to join as one and steal our sovereignty. But because our Lord and Savior shed his blood and gave his life, they won't ever take our liberty. For this is my promised land. I said it is my love for liberty, God's gift to you and me. This is my promised land. Deliver us, Lord, once again. Born in blood, this nation was, this land of liberty. Born in blood, this nation was reborn. It now shall be. It lives.
I wait for you. And your silence seems unfair. I want to find you and walk beside you and show me the way. Every little thing that I say, leave me on the sink of your face. Every little breath that I breathe, blow your river through me. Every little thing that I do, let it open deep in my faith in you. Every little step that I take, like a father's hand, you pull me to my feet. I know you understand. You're strong, my body's weak. Touch the child in me. Clear my eyes to see. Show me the way. Every little step that I take, leave me on the sink of your face. Every little breath that I breathe, flow your river through me. Every little thing that I do, let it only deepen my faith in you. Every little step that I take. And though your hands are unseen, and I can't hear you speak, and the little things reveal yourself to me. It's a long, hard climb. I need to know you're by my side all the time.
You must have wondered when I didn't ask your name. Time just wasn't right. I felt you needed your own space. Time just wasn't right. The pain you felt was evident. Been there before you. You won't be coming home. Love you, Jordan, let it be. Let it happen, let it breathe. Let me lead you, Jordan. Let it happen, let it be. Love you, Jordan, let us breathe. Let me lead you, Jordan.
cause to wonder when I didn't call your phone. Time still wasn't right. I thought about you each and every day. Time still wasn't right. You turn my world upside down. Breathing new love into what was lost now.
Thank you. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design broadcast for the 29th day of June, year 2022. I am your host, Pastor Dan, and the topic for today's broadcast is Militia Update. And we do dedicate this broadcast to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this broadcast to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Cumri Ambeth. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. Again, pastordan.net. We draw your attention to the Daily Mail page on the website because that's where we put current event information, health information, financial information, lots and lots of info goes there on lots of different topics, also research material on the identity message. We have a home page on the website where you can learn how to help us with a donation if you so desire. And for the first time ever today, three people on the same day decided to help us out. So that's a first. So praise Yahweh and thank you folks, the folks that were out there and did that. We also have a contact us page where you can get a hold of me if you don't have my personal contact information. There's a lot of things going on right now, ladies and gentlemen. So part of what today is, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of the things that we have been discussing with Mike in Miami and some of the other men around the country and other guys here in Florida in particular about organizing or uniting the militia. And the militia, according to the United States Constitution, is the able-bodied men in particular, but even ladies, but you have to be physically fit and able to bear arms. Obviously, you can't be part of a military unit if you're not able to shoulder an arm and fight. However, there are auxiliaries and people who can assist the militia, and doing that by helping with administrative functions, etc., like secretarial work, paperwork, mailings, whatever, people that might try to go out and get fundraisers going, things like that. So there's auxiliary items that you can obviously do at any age and under any physical constraints. However, an active member of the militia obviously has to be somebody who is able to shoulder and carry an arm and use that arm. And again, a lot of it is common sense. You just have to use the noggin that our Heavenly Father gave you and figure that stuff out. Interestingly enough, we've been having a lot of technical difficulties this week with some of the broadcasts. We don't know if that's a result of direct interference by the powers that should not be, or is it just coincidental? Because some of these software programs, I have noticed anyway, in my time with computers, you got to remember, I'm in the age group where I grew up with computers, meaning they came into existence when I was a young man, just leaving high school, going into college and in the military. So I am very familiar with software and the hardware of computers, how they work, etc. And I have noticed, thank you, Ella. I have noticed of late that you would think as time has gone by, people could create code and software that was more user-friendly and more efficient, and yet it seems that the longer computers are in existence, the worse the code written for the different software programs are. Now, there's a few exceptions to that, but there's a lot of programs, particularly government sites, whether it's state or federal, they're terrible. Absolutely terrible. Whoever writes the code for these software programs, for these government agencies, they're not getting their money's worth, that's for sure. They are not user-friendly. They're often poorly written. They got errors in them. They've got bad grammar in them. It's like kindergarten students put that together, and you and I are paying for that nonsense. It reminds me of Obamacare when they paid that Canadian company that was obviously mostly minorities hundreds of millions of dollars for the software, and it never worked. It never worked. Did we get our money back? Nobody talked about that. Did we get our money back for paying for that nonsense? Probably not. So anyway, there is an effort to unite the members of the militia for self-defense and I guess Mike is trying to listen to the show and he says there's too many links and it's too convoluted. I don't understand. I've gone to these links. I've got friends that go to these links. You just click on the link and it starts. You might have to hit the play button like any kind of recorder or MP3 player or whatever. But as far as I know, you don't have to join anything. There's not a thing complicated about listening to this show. If there is, somebody report it back to me, because when I've gone to it, it was very easy, and all the other people that listened to the show, it was very simple. Okay, now Mike says here, I filled out your form and got into your system, then it takes me to Facebook. Well, that's not mine. I'm not tied to Facebook in any way, shape, or form. I'm confused. I don't know why somebody's having that much trouble. Maybe his computer system did get hacked or something. I don't know. Something strange. Because all you got to do is go to PastorDan.net, go to Listen Live. There's three different links to listen to my radio show, which is what I use, listen to my radio show. And you just click on them, and it should come right up to the page, and then you just listen to me speaking or the music or whatever. He's recommending, okay, people don't understand. Mike's saying, just send out one link, so all three links go to the same place. It's three different URLs, but they all go to the same place. It's as simple as 1, 2, 3, and I'm sorry. Maybe I'm getting old, and my patience is waning here. I don't know. It's not really hard or difficult to figure out. But anyway, I'll do the best I can to help folks out. But when I'm in the middle of a broadcast or whatever, that's not the time to blow up my phone with wanting help. When you should have done that yesterday, the day before, whatever. Not blow up my phone on the night of the program. If you want to find out what we're doing and what's going on as far as trying to get the men and women of the militia to organize in the sense of get to know each other, reach out to each other, find out who we are, who the representatives for different counties and different areas are, different state reps, people take on that duty and whatnot. You can go to these two different websites. One of them is militiausa.org. Again, that's militiausa.org. And righteousarmy.org. Righteousarmy.org. Now, on the Daily Mail page, I will put links to some of the videos that we're making. We just did one today. We did three the other day. So we've got a total of four. Mike has made two of those on BitChute and Rumble and a couple other sites available. So you can go to militiausa.org and see the links and information on how you can watch those, or go to my Daily Mail page. You have to go down through the list and find it, but it'll say National Militia, and you can look at the link, and it'll take you to the video, the short videos that we're doing. Again, this is a project that we've taken on because nobody else seems to be doing it. Mike is sort of the ringleader on trying to get guys to step up. The hour's late, folks. One of the things I wanted to talk about this for tonight is, I mean, how much more do you have to see? How much more perversion? How many more innocent children hurt? How many more babies destroyed in their mother's wombs? How many more babies destroyed by these poisonous substances they're sticking in their bodies? How many more liars do we have to tolerate on television and out of the media and out of the government, out of the medical mafia, etc.? Hold on. Let me send this to Mike real quick. I'm going to have to remind him, don't contact me in the middle of a show asking for how the hell to listen to my show. Sorry, a little impatient, but I swear to God sometimes. Anyway, go to these websites to catch up on the latest things. You can also watch the videos. If you have any positive feedback or any constructive criticism, we're certainly open to those sort of things. Gary and Elka were listening tonight, and Gary and Elka made a very good suggestion to shorten the amount of time that Mike takes to assuage our spooks and government traitors that listen in. Why don't you just write a disclaimer, okay? So, again, that was a very good explanation or a very good suggestion. And you know, again, it shows me where Scripture says that we are to work together as a team, learn line upon line, precept upon precept. And as we do that, we help each other out. So there was a very constructive criticism by somebody listening who thought, well, he does take quite a bit of time to address his concerns that we haven't stepped on the wrong toes. My personal thing is that as men of Yahweh, and particularly myself as a pastor, which is similar to a leader or to a commander, my job is to please my Father in heaven first and watch out for my brethren. Whether or not some bureaucrat somewhere likes what we say or do is the last thing I'm worried about. Okay? These people are criminals. So you can be as white as rain. You can be as accurate in the so-called legalities of things as you want. And if they decide to harass you or do whatever, they'll just do it. I mean, if we haven't learned anything in the last 2.5 years with this fake pandemic, is these SOBs lie, cheat, steal, intimidate, bribe, and we do know they're quite capable of committing murder. And so, okay, and we're going to worry about what they're up to, you know. I know, Ella says it's simple. It is simple. And we're talking about how to listen to the program. I don't know how it can be any simpler. You pick one of three links that are on the Listen Live page and just click on it. Boom, there you go. And it says right there that I play music up until the time I start speaking. It says it right there on the website, if somebody would just read it. And I play music at the end. Okay? Anybody that has gone there when it's not a show night knows that they run advertising 24 hours a day when I'm not actually broadcasting myself. And I only broadcast for about 20 to 25 minutes before the hour. And when I'm done talking, I'll broadcast music for another 20 to 25 minutes just so people get some very wholesome, patriotic-type songs to listen to. And if they like them, they can contact me, and I know almost all of the singer-songwriters that you'll hear are people that I've known. They've either donated the music, or I bought the music, or they were friends of mine, acquaintances of mine, etc. Carl Klang, for instance, most of the music is by Carl Klang and Jonathan David Brown, who were both personal friends of mine. Also, Daryl Barr, who is a friend of a friend. donated his music and said I could play it, etc. That's how it works. Now, there's a few other artists in there just for some variety. But the idea, of course, is that you get to hear the music, which in some of the darkest days that I've ever had, Carl Klang and Jonathan David Brown kept me in a positive vibration during very dark days dealing with the beast, because their music was so uplifting, so educational, so spiritual, to help elevate us in the middle of a struggle. So it is very appropriate to listen to their music, and I love the music of Stephen McDonald, who has a lot of Celtic music, very, very strong music that just reaches in and grabs your soul. At least it does to those of us who are Anglo-Saxon, especially those of us who are Gaelic, Irish, Scottish, and Welsh, because of the music. A lot of bagpipes, a lot of drums. One of my favorite songs is The Painted Men, which is referring to the ancient Pict people, who I believe were a subset of ancient Hebrews who left the area of the Palestine area long before the Irish and the Welshmen, etc., showed up, long before that, because it even talks about the fact that they were there for a very long time in their own histories. The painted or picked men were there, and they spoke an ancient tongue. Can you say Hebrew? Which, by the way, is the root of Scottish, Irish, and Welsh as well. But they spoke an even more ancient dialect. And the picked people, who are our kinsmen, were ferocious fighters. Ferocious fighters. And they were called painted men because they would put dye on their bodies, typically blue, a bluish dye on their bodies. And they fought naked, which is not that strange. I read a history book that my father let me read, that he was reading, about the Celts of Europe, particularly around Spain and France in the Middle Ages. The Celts would often fight naked as well. In fact, there's a story of when the Gaelic warriors met the Roman legions for the first time. They beat the Roman legions because the legionnaires were so awestruck by these Gaelic warriors, who basically only had sandals or boots of some kind on, and a cape, and a golden necklace around their neck. And that's all they carried into battle, besides their spears and their shields and swords. That was it. Fought naked. And it so threw the Romans off that they sort of were in a disarray, and they got beat. Now, when the Romans came back for the second go at the Gaelic men, they beat them. Okay? But the point of it is, when I first read that, and I've told people about that, the first thing they said was, "Oh, that's ridiculous. That sounds gross. That sounds, obscene, etc." And yet, again, we know that the ancient Picts fought that way. We know that the ancient Greeks, when they wrestled in the arena and they did different games in the arena, the athletes were naked. We know that the ancient Celts fought naked. And then I was reading a story about World War I, and there was an Irish unit. I can't remember if it was Irish or Scot, but I believe it was Irish. And this unit was getting ready to go into a very heated battle. And they had their tunics on, they had their breeches, their boots, their backpacks, and all that. And the story by the correspondent that saw this said that it was amazing how fast the Irish took off their gear, because they couldn't fight. So they threw the backpacks off, and they threw off the heavy coat, and they threw this off and that off to lighten their load and so that they could cool off. Now, a lot of people say, well, that sounds kind of silly, but no, it's not silly, because I wrestled for a while in high school. And I'm going to tell you something. When you get into a one-on-one combat situation with another individual, and you're wrestling or fighting, your body temperature screams upward. My son was a heavyweight wrestler in high school. I wrestled non-competitively as part of the athletic program. But I remember just how fast my body temperature went screaming up, and I was sweating profusely. And I just had gym shorts and a t-shirt on. Can you imagine being in a combat situation where your adrenaline is pumping and you're carrying a 3 to 5 pound rifle and a bayonet and a 40 to 50 pound rucksack on your back, and you've got this woolen coat and this woolen pair of pants and these boots on, and you're having to run and you're having to fight, and you're even sometimes having to do hand-to-hand combat. Pretty soon your temperature, your body temperature is going to scream up to the point where you're going to get sick and or you might pass out, which in a battle situation means that you're dead. So these stories about the ancient peoples and what they did and the fact that they either wore very little clothing or often would fight naked, they're not so strange after all. If you take the time to study things out, you begin to find out that we are told a bunch of lies and bullshit about history, about our people, etc., over and over and over again. There's a group of people that just don't want us to know the fact. They want us to feel guilty about our bodies. They want us to feel guilty about our sexuality. They want us to feel guilty about all of the natural things that Yahweh put within the bodies of our people. They want us to feel guilty about it. It's time we put all this stuff aside. We don't need to. I'm looking into the work of Dr. Joseph Jeffers, who wrote about the New Kingdom of Yahweh. It's his contention that the Messiah, the real Messiah, spoken of by the prophets, did not die at Calvary. That was a substitute that was put up there to go along with their idea that they eliminated him and that he actually went off and married Mary Magdalene and had a family. Either side could be true. We don't really know, okay? We do know that they're capable of doing such a thing, very capable of doing it. And would they lie to us? They sure as hell would. And it was Dr. Jeffers' opinion that our Creator Father does not allow the enemy to touch his anointed. And we have read that scripture here on the program many times where it says that he would reprove kings and princes on behalf of his anointed. And he said to them, meaning the enemy, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. So which is it? Does Yahweh protect his anointed and prophets, or does he not? Okay, the story we've been told says that he would sacrifice one of his own. And yet the prophets told us, many of the prophets told us, that he told the enemies of our people, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Now you might ask yourself, why would somebody make a lie up about that? Well, remember the old Latin phrase, qui bono? Who benefits? Who would benefit from us having a defeatist attitude that there's glory in dying for our people and dying at the hands of our enemies? Who would benefit from us having that attitude rather than the attitude of Psalm 149, Psalm 91, the 23rd Psalm, okay, Obadiah verse 18, Ezekiel 25, 14, and many others, okay? In fact, right here, let's go to Luke 11. Now, this is in the New Testament, verse 21. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace or home, his goods are safe. Okay? Again, what we should be looking at is, in this day and age, when our countries are being overrun by aliens and by those who are alien to our culture and our beliefs, these communist interlopers, these Zionist Talmudic pigs who are posing as our people, like Macron in France calls himself a Frenchman, he's a Jew. Merkel in Germany, a Jew. The replacement for Merkel, a Jew. Boris Johnson in the United Kingdom, I'm not positive, but I could swear from his behavior he's one too. Okay? May, Joe, can't think of the other clown that was up there in their government. It was a Jew, and did all kinds of things to harm their people. Okay, we know many other countries of Europe have got Jews in government in high levels. We know that Trudeau in Canada is Jewish. We know that Biden and most of the people surrounding him in Washington are Jewish. In fact, even Donald Trump is said to be Jewish, and he certainly has Jews in his family and was surrounded by them as well. It's like I've said for years, these people in Washington, D.C. haven't found a Jewish ass that wasn't worth kissing yet. And we wonder why nothing is ever done for us, our people, and for our benefit, when they consider it their greatest honor to kiss the Jew's ass. And to make sure that the litter box that they come from over there gets billions of dollars of support when Jews own all of the major corporations and banks in the world. Hello? Why the hell are we sending them anything? Let that sink in. All of your major corporations and international banks are owned by kikes. And we're sending billions of dollars to the Israelis? Let them be supported by their own damn people. I'll tell you, white people have lost their minds. I don't know what's wrong with them, but they've lost their minds. They're not taking care of their own families. They don't take care of their own children. They don't even care about themselves. As the scripture says, in the latter days, they would lose natural affection. They have. They don't care about family. They don't care about their own self. They don't care about their children. They don't care about the education system that's been totally gutted and turned into a communist indoctrination center. They don't care that the kikes have stolen their economic institutions and they're robbing them blind. They don't care that your Congress swears a loyalty oath to a foreign country called Israel. That's treason. The only congresswoman that had enough guts to stand up to him was Cynthia McKinney, the black lady from Georgia. And the Jews made sure she didn't win her election when she wouldn't sign the loyalty oath to those bastards in Israel. And yet you dumbasses sit there and wonder what happened to our country. I don't understand. Why are they putting perverts into schools and transsexuals? And why are they forcing this stuff down our throat? And why can't my money buy me a decent meal anymore? And why are Jews running around in 100-foot yachts when I can't even afford a 10-year-old car? Let's see. Why would that be, Dan? Could it be that they're stealing all the money? Could it be why our ancestors said that you only give the control of your currency to your elected legislators, not to private bankers? And that's only if your legislators are of your own kind. As it says in the book of Leviticus and Deuteronomy, you are not to put an alien in political power within your nations. Okay? That's a law. That's Yahweh's law to his people, and we violated it. Now you look at state and federal government, it is full of aliens, people that our ancestors for thousands of years upheld the law that would never happen. You don't put aliens. How many non-Jews do you think are in the Knesset over there in Israel? How many? How many non-Chinese do you think govern communist China? How many non-Indians do you believe are overrunning India today? How many non-blacks do you think run Sierra Leone or Mozambique or Zimbabwe? How come you simpletons have no problem with that, but here in our own nations, our white nations, and these nations were white, they were found by Europeans, Europe means white face. You look at the people who signed the documents that created this nation and created the colonies before it, and they were white men. And again, if you don't like hearing that, then you just don't like the truth and you don't like history. It's a fact. A homogeneous people are strong and peaceful, and they are very prosperous. Okay? The very word nation comes from the Latin words that talk about race. The very root of nation is the same root that's in natal, as in prenatal or nativity. Nation means people who share a common race, language, faith, culture, and heritage. And if you don't have those things in common, you're not a nation. You're more like an empire. And that's why empires don't last. Because you have this mixed multitude. You're trying to win a war with a mixed multitude. How does that work? You know, the German SS in World War II were staunch anti-communists. That's why the Jews put out as much anti-German propaganda against the National Socialists over there as they can get. Especially the German SS. Now, here's why. And I've got volumes here about the history of the German SS. So until you do some research, I don't want to hear shit from anybody. Oh, Dan, you're just sticking up for them nasty Germans. No, I know the story of the Germans. I'm half German myself. Don't give me that crap. The German SS were the most moral soldiers on the battlefields of World War II. And that is admitted to by not only the Axis powers, but the Allies. I bet you didn't know that, did you? The German SS were considered the most upright, the best trained, the best uniformed, the best soldiers, and the most moral fighters. And they were the hardest fighters against communism on the field of battle. That's why the Jews who invented communism hate them. Now, the SS were so famous for their desire to eliminate communism that many of the peoples of Eastern Europe who were subjugated to the Jewish Bolshevik terror, they left those nations and countries, just like the Cossacks and the Ukrainians that fled the Ukraine. They went to the German SS and volunteered. There was even Indians, Asian Indians, who formed units within the German SS because they saw what communism was like and they were willing to fight under German command to stop communism. They don't tell you that in school, do they? The only thing the German SS required was you can be part of our army, but every commander in the German SS had to be German. Okay, so that's following biblical law. And we would have the same thing going into the latter days that we're in right now. Good versus evil. This is the before the great and terrible day of Yahweh, which is in Malachi chapters 3 and 4. And you can see where we're going to come back. Ezekiel chapter 37 talks about the vast and mighty army that comes up out of that valley of dead and dry bones. We are approaching that period right now. We will have people similar to the pastor in Harlem, James David Manning. Okay, he's a black preacher in Harlem, and he said when the white people finally get pissed off enough and they decide to take their country back, I'm going to volunteer to fight for them. And I'm praying that the white people take this country back before it's completely destroyed. Okay, this is a middle-aged black preacher with a PhD, by the way, in Harlem. Okay, that agrees with Scripture. We will have those not of Jacob Israel who will do just like those other races did in World War II when they volunteered to fight with the German SS against these blood-curdling, terroristic, Bolshevik communists. We're fighting the same communists, the Talmudic Zionist communists. We're fighting that same hideous group right now. So we're going to have those not of our kind volunteer, and we will set it up the same way. They can fight with us. They can form their own battalions and commands and companies, but the leadership on the battlefield will be our people. Our people will lead into the battle that's going to come. There's a precedent that's been set that goes back into biblical times, and it was carried through clear up into World War II. Okay? Again, the enemy wants to hide these things by obfuscating the truth through control of the media, the television shows, the movies, because they know most of these brain-dead people, these zombies walking around, they don't have any intellect, they don't have any desires, they're not self-motivated, they're not going to pick up a book and read it, they're not going to look at an encyclopedia. Even with the ease of the internet, they're not going to research anything because they just don't give a shit. They're going to turn on a Jewish-produced movie or watch some Jewish-produced program on mainstream television, that electronic toilet called a television. They're going to watch that, and they're going to think that's telling them the truth. But Yahweh's people seek the truth in all things. And if you will seek the truth, what did he say? I'm knocking. If you let me in, I will enter in and sup with you. Did he not say that? Seek and ye shall find. Did he not say that? And there's an old saying, when the student is ready, a teacher will appear. I just read a very excellent short book called Buddha the Israelite. It's written by a lady, I believe she's... I can't remember if she's Irish, Scottish, or English. I can't remember. I think Hiller is her name. Anyway, she wrote this many years ago, Buddha the Israelite. And then my good friend up in Canada, Andy, just put out a BitChute video last year on that very subject about the fact that Buddha, the original Buddha, was an Israelite. In fact, Buddha is a... like a distortion of the Hebrew word for wise. Okay? Yahshua would have been referred to as Buzi or Buddha as well. It just means wise. Okay? So there are a lot of wisdom in what Yahshua said. There's a lot of wisdom in the prophets and in the Psalms and in the Proverbs. And so people that espoused this wisdom were referred to as these Buddhas. But the original Buddha that turned into this religion called Buddhism today, which is a perversion of the original was monotheistic, and it taught the principles of the Old Testament. And over time, of course, the Buddha was in the area of modern-day India, and he traveled, and people became their disciples, and they started writing down some of the things that he was saying. And over time, the indigenous people that were around where the Buddha was took over and became the monks, if you will, and they changed it over time. Just like modern-day Christianity is not anything at all like what the first followers of the way. That's what they called themselves. They didn't call themselves Christians. They called themselves followers of the way or covenanters. Okay? They didn't use the term Christian. They didn't meet in churches. They met in living rooms, barns, groves, pasture fields, wherever they wanted to. They got together and fellowshipped and studied and talked about the teachings, okay? It's the perversion, particularly by the Roman Catholic Church, of all of those initial learnings. And they turned it into a religion. And anybody that's done any studying at all about the Roman Catholic Church knows it is perverted as hell. There is nothing Christ-like or of Yahweh in the Roman Catholic Church. It is pure ritualism. It is pure political. And it is the bane of all mankind. And it took the faith of Messiah and turned it into a religion. How many, innocent martyrs has the Catholic Church destroyed because they dared to speak against the Pope or the teachings of the Church? How many innocent lives have been lost by that organization? The Scripture says that the whore that rides on the beast, okay, the beast is a form of government. What is the whore that rides on the beast? The Roman Catholic Church. She relies on the governments holding them up and giving them recognition as a legitimate church. The great whore has the blood of martyrs all over her. And all of the Protestant religions that were born out of Catholicism are also daughters of the great whore, teaching lies and deceptions to the masses, teaching them to be pacifists, teaching them to be nonviolent, teaching them that it's our job to obey the authorities. No, it's not. Go back and read Romans 13 properly. The only authority in the sense of a man-made government that we owe any allegiance to is that government that upholds God's law. Not man's law, God's law. And when they go against God's law, the Scriptures tell us that we cease to give them any of our adherence or obedience. We cease to do that, and then we become what our founding fathers said. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. We become the resisters spoken of in the book of Proverbs when it says you are to resist evil with all of your heart, mind, body, and soul. Did you hear that, men? You are to resist evil with all of your heart, mind, body, and soul. We have evil all around us. I guess we can deduce then that the righteous men have been sitting on their asses, can we not? Because evil seems to be prevailing. There's an old saying that says, evil prevails when the righteous sit by and do nothing. Now, for those that believe that Yeshua, when he walked this earth, said that we were to be pacifists, let's go see what it says right here in the book of Luke again, chapter 22, verse 36. He, being Yeshua, said to them, but now let the one who has a money bag or purse take it, and likewise a knapsack, and let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. Now, back in those days, selling your cloak was a serious matter. It wasn't like you could run down to Kmart or Walmart and just go pick up another one. They were not that easy to come by. Okay, cloaks were expensive and took a little bit of work to produce, so it was not something they gave up easily. But it says right here, if you don't have your sword, then you need to give up your cloak because you're going to need that sword. I'm sending you out amongst wolves. We got wolves all around us. And we got wolves that are in sheep's clothing. We got wolves who look like us, but they're not of us. And a lot of people say, well, how do I know who the right, the real descendants of Yahweh are? And how do I know people I should fellowship with and all that? He said, judge them by their fruits. It's just like the racial aspect of when I was talking to Mike earlier today. And his son and his father. We had a great conversation. Here's the thing. There's only two races spoken of in Scripture. There's only two groups of people, two races that matter. Those that hear his voice and are his sheep, and everybody else. That's it. Just the two. You've got wheat and you've got chaff. You've got wheat and you've got tares. You have goats. You have sheep. Okay? Two. That's it. You're either in his camp or you're not. Everybody that's outside of his camp, what do you care what their DNA is? What do you care what they call themselves? But do you care where they came from, what their ancestry is, what kind of skin color they got? What do you care? They're outside of that boundary. In fact, Scripture says we're not even to fellowship. We're not even to sup, which means eat with them. Why is that? Because they eat the unclean food. They also have unclean ways of food preparation, which are possibly poisonous to the Caucasian. That's just simply a fact. And if you don't know that, shame on you. You should know that. Okay? Here's 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives or those he's responsible for, and especially for members of his household, meaning his wives and children, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So we are supposed to protect. So when you've got government authorities such as Child Protective Services stealing people's children, turning them into the foster care system or putting them under another roof where they end up being raped and abused, not always, but many times they do. Okay, I have people I know who are raised in foster homes. I've read the stories. I've heard the personal testimonies. Don't tell me it's a perfect system. And here again, government has no authority for any of this. Government has no authority over our health issues. They have no authority over our family issues. They have no authority over our education. Okay, government has intruded in many aspects of our life where they have absolutely no mandate and no authority. None. Psalm 144, verse 1. This is a psalm of King David. Blessed be Yahweh my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. That's where I am, personally. That's where I am. That's where I stay. I'm not a violent man. I don't wish violence on anybody until you enter my zone, until you enter my home, or you show that you are violent against me or those that I'm responsible for. Now you have asked for violence. We white men are part of that group that I have a very neat sticker up here. It's in the shape of a Confederate flag, and it just basically says we are the ones that just want to be left alone. Okay? That's all you assholes had to do is leave us alone, but you couldn't. You had to go after our children. You have to go after our wives. You had to bring your perversions and bring it into our schools, into our theaters, into our entertainment. You had to push your perversions and your sickness and your mental illness on us and the ones we love. Now you have asked for us to create a response. In fact, our Heavenly Father says that they are demanding a response from the righteous men of this world. The Scripture says the whole world is in travail, waiting for the sons of Yahweh to be manifested. What does that mean? In travail. That word in the Greek language is the same word used to describe a woman in childbirth. So the whole world is groaning, knowing that there is a new and better day coming when Yahweh's law will be the law of the land, and these miscreants and cretins, these psychopaths and sociopaths that are running the world today, will be gathered up and burned as stubble. They are groaning under these international bankers and international corporations as they pollute, rob, steal, rape, and murder, and child molest, and organ harvest their way across this world, and the misery that it brings. We're living in hell right now. People say, oh, well, if you don't get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. You're in hell. And it's a hell that was created right under your noses. because you were too busy having a gay old time buying the delicacies of Babylon. Exactly what Revelation says that we are to avoid. Do not become like drunken sailors on the delicacies of Babylon. We became like drunken fools. I want more. Give me more toys, more cars. Give me more booze, more drugs, more adult movies, more sexy actresses. Give me faster race cars. Give me more weapons. Give me more war. Give me a better computer games. It never ends. I want more, just like a drug addict. Oh, I gotta have more. I need a bigger screen on my computer. I need a 85-inch television to watch the shit that comes over it. I need a better stereo. I need a car that it can hold 8 people instead of 6 people. It's always got to be more. And the enemy sits back, snickering in the back of the synagogue, how easy these people are to manipulate. They're like drunken fools. Just go out and give them a little more booze. It's like the Jewish Indian agents used to do out in the Midwest when they'd go out to the reservations with the liquor and get the Indians liquored up, and the Indians would practically give away their property and their goods to these Jews who would then turn around and sell it because they would get them liquored up. Well, we're the same way. They're coming in and getting you all liquored up. And they're raping and murdering their way across this world. I'm looking for the next one here I wanted to talk to you about. Well, here in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 18, it says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peacefully with all. And again, that's us. Like the sticker I have over here on the wall. We're that group of men who just want to be left alone. You don't have to keep poking the bear, but you've done it now. The bear is awakening. And as that one gentleman who's in his latter years, the same way I am, and he made a TikTok video, and he said basically, you sons of bitches are going to wish you had not started this fight. Because even us old-timers still know how to pick up a weapon, and I can still pick you off at a pretty good distance. I might not do real well in hand-to-hand combat at my age, but I can sure as hell pick you off. All right? It's a battle and a war you're going to wish you hadn't started. But you're going to do it because a scorpion bites because it's what a scorpion does. A Jew will not stop until he's just pissed you off to the point where you have to resist. You must resist, or else you will not obey your Heavenly Father. You will not obey your ancestors. You will not obey the survival instinct that should be burning brightly within you. So yes, if possible, we would live at peace, but these monsters called communists, that is not what they want. They have no desire for peace. Now, here's one where they mistranslate all the time. This goes to the book of Matthew, chapter 5, verse 39. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn him the other also. Okay? Now, this is where liars and deceivers trick you. Because if you didn't read the verses before and after that, you would not know that in the Greek language, it says that these are things that you do with your adelphos. Now, that word in the Greek, adelphos, is translated as brother. And the modern day whores will tell you that everything in shoe leather is your brother. When the Greeks said no such thing, the word adelphos means from the womb, meaning a racial brother. A racial brother. So, looking at Matthew 5, verse 39 again, what is it saying? It's saying when you're dealing with a racial brother of faith, not just any old white guy, because there's a lot of them that are zombies and they're evil, but it's talking about within your family of believers. You should have a desire to keep peace within the brotherhood to the point where if he slapped you across the cheek, you would turn to him the other. Now, a real brother shouldn't do that. So it's making a point here. It's not saying to literally stand there and let some idiot hit you on the cheek. That's ridiculous. It's making a point. This is an analogy. Okay? A lot of things in Scripture are not verbatim. They are euphemisms or analogies. And people today are amazing because the Bible wasn't written in English, so it's twice as bad. It would be bad enough if you had the Greek language and you still tried to take everything verbatim. But today we have piss poor English translations, and we have whole denominations out there based on these crappy English translations, as if this English is literal. It'd be like me going up to somebody and saying, hey, I heard your uncle kick the bucket. And somebody 1,000 years from now is going, hey, you know, back in their day, they had a practice where people would kick a bucket. I wonder what that was all about. That's how silly it is. Of course, that's not what it means. Kicking the bucket means that you think somebody passed on, died. But somebody 1,000 years from now, with the same kind of mental processes we have today, they'd be going, wow, I wonder what kicking the bucket was all about. Why do you think that is, Martha? Why did our ancestors 1,000 years, why did they go around kicking buckets? I don't understand. Do you see how that kind of gets out of control? And that's why I say, and in our discussion, the men that we had today, we talked about this fact. When you're reading Scripture, you have to back it up with common sense, rational thinking, and the empirical world around you, because all of it has to agree or it's not of our Father in heaven. It's either a mistranslation or it's an intentional mistranslation to deceive you, one or the other. So you've got to use discernment when you're reading these scriptures. And think about this, folks. And I've had this discussion with so many people. Well, you know, Dan, the Bible's the Word of God. Okay, first of all, the word Bible comes from the Greek word biblos, which just means book. And why do you think they use the term book to represent the Bible? Because up until recently, only rich people could afford books because they had to be made by hand. Literally, some monk or some scribe had to sit down with a quill and a pen, not a ballpoint pen, not a printing machine, but a quill, which is typically a feather from a bird, and dipping it in an inkwell and writing out the text by hand. That's how you got a copy of a book. So obviously there were few, and usually only the wealthiest or the clergy could get copies. So when people said ha biblos, meaning the book that was copied the most through the Middle Ages was the Scripture. So when people said the book, they understood the only book that people tried to obtain was the Bible, the Scriptures. So when people say that, well, everything has to be by the Bible and we should be reading it every day and blah, 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 blah. Well, that book was created by the Catholic Church and it's only been around for a few hundred years in the average person's home. So what did our ancestors do for about 1,700 years from the time of Christ till today? What did they do? Did they all go to hell because they didn't have scripture to read every day? I'm just asking a question here, so give me an answer. Well, I got an answer for you. No, of course they didn't. Because you're completely overlooking what even your scriptures tell you. Christ himself says, I'm going away, but I'm sending you what? A comforter. He didn't say, I'm going to send you scripture. Where in the book does it say, I'm going to send you scripture? He said, I'm going to send you a comforter, the Holy Spirit. You're going to have the Spirit of the Most High within you if you believe, if you worship the Creator. I will sup with you. I will communicate with you. I will lead you. That's what he said. Has nothing to do with this book, whether it's leather-bound, cardboard-covered, or whatever. It doesn't matter. Or electronic on your screen. Those are words written down and translated over and over and over again. Whereas my pineal gland, the antenna, the third eye right here between my eyes, is my antenna to the other side. My Heavenly Father can talk directly to me. That's what they don't want you to think about. That's why the modern day whore church wants you to focus on scripture, because they can twist and turn and twist your way of thinking. Because again, religion, look at the etymology of the word religion. What does it tell you? It is not much different than government, which is from the Latin, meaning to control the mind. Government, govern, control, mentos, the mind. Government has power by deception. They spend a lot of time and money deceiving you because they know they don't have the power. And the same thing in the church world. Why were all the Latin or the Catholic Church services done in Latin? Because most of the people couldn't speak it. So they had no idea what they were saying. So why would you give a lesson to the people that you're supposed to care about in a language they can't speak? It's called deception. Religion, to control a people. We have to come out of all that. These are the latter days. There is no doubt about it. You can sense it. You can feel it. Okay? You can see that this world has become exceedingly wicked and evil. You can see that this great nation that became the United States has sunken very low. It is an immoral mass of people. It has become a wicked empire, not much different than Sodom and Gomorrah. So the only solution to this is the men and women must become moral again. They must repent. That's another word that means to rethink. Reprioritize your life in accordance with His will rather than your own. That's what repentance is all about. Stop thinking the way the world wants you to think and start thinking the way our Creator Father wants us to think. And yes, we men must learn how to put our stones back in our sacks and stop being pushed around by the system, stop being pushed around by our wives, stop being pushed around by our children. Men, you are the heads of your households. You are the elders. Start acting like it. You give out the instructions. You don't take instructions. If you're righteous and you are versed in the scripture, because that is also your job. You are the head of the household, but you're also the spiritual leader of the house and a spiritual teacher of the house. And the wives and the children are to show you honor and respect. As long as you deserve it. Takes work. But you can do it. You can do it. Psalm 18:34, he trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. Now, bronze bow would take a lot of pounds of force, but he says he'll train you for that. Joel 3:10, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears, and let the weak say, I am a warrior. That's where we're at. Again, that's Joel, or Yaol, chapter 3:10. Yes, there is a day when we'll take our weapons of war and we'll melt them down and make implements of peace and prosperity in this poor, sick world we live in today. But that's not where we're at right now. Right now, we are to take these metals and wood and different items of the earth and make them into our swords and our spears, because the enemy means to kill us off. Our Heavenly Father gave us a right to defend our homes and our lives. We don't need permission from anybody for that. And it's time for the men to unite under that banner. Yahweh says in the end times, he will raise a banner in Jacob Israel. That is the white man, the sons and daughters of Jacob or Jacob. We are his literal descendants. He will raise a banner, an ensign for us to see Yahweh in the flesh, Yahweh's word, Yahweh's law, which brings peace and prosperity, and it brings justice. There is no justice in this world today. And we men, according to Jeremiah, are his weapons of war, his battle axes and weapons of war. And according to Psalm 149, it is our honor to implement the judgments written upon the wicked. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So anyway, check out those sites from time to time, militiausa.org, righteousarmy.org, and stay abreast of what's going on. If you feel led to be a coordinator or you want to know how you can help out in any way, contact Mike, who has picked up the ball and run with it to get this thing running. Good men are already starting to contact him from all over the United States. Because again, I think this is the time. It is the right time, because enough righteous men see that it's near the end. It's near the end. If something isn't done to right this ship, it's going to sink. And it's going to take everybody that we love and care about down with it, including ourselves. So if for no other reason than self-preservation, every man who is capable should be stepping up to the plate. And I like what General Stonewall Jackson, who was one of the favorite generals under Robert E. Lee during the 1800s here in the United States, General Stonewall Jackson said that duty is ours. Consequences belong to God the Father. Doing the right thing, our duty, is all we should be focused on, and let him worry about the consequences. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to share with our brothers and sisters all over this earth. Many people are suffering right now, Father Yahweh, either through mental stress, unemployment, financial problems, you name it. There are a lot of negative things going on because of the wicked who rule this wicked world we live in. So we just ask you to lift them up by your Holy Spirit. You can minister unto them. You can encourage them. You can give them bits of wisdom, Father. We ask that you would do that if their hearts are open to it. Those that wish to be called your sons and daughters, reach out to them and wake that valley of dead and dry bones up and let them become the vast and mighty army that Ezekiel told us about, that cannot be defeated, that we become the Gideon army that will go out and destroy the wicked, and the wicked will have no weapon. No weapon that is formed by these people can hurt your sons and daughters. And when we take this world back from these monsters that have taken it over, this poor earth can start to breathe again and be refreshed in the animal kingdom and the vegetables and the trees. All of those will be restored and mankind will be restored. And we will do everything that we do to thy glory and for thy kingdom and not for ourselves. Our selfish, bratish, impish, completely materialistic, selfish, childish, impish, self-centered. Forgive us that sin, Father. We have partaken of the luxuries of Babylon. We have allowed our ancestors to create man-made government when you were to be our only government. And we repent of that, and we ask that you become our government once again, over each of us as individuals and as a collective. And help us to restore this world in your honor and in your name. And we can do that by bringing justice to this poor world once again, and to look out for the widows and the orphans and the weak that are put upon right now by these people. Forgive us our sins and our shortcomings. Walk with us in all that we say and do, and protect us always from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.
Hear, O Israel, Yahweh our God, Yahweh is one. Holy is his name.
Shema Israel, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad.
night is almost gone. The birds have sung their last. The bells call out to mass. Seat ye by my side, for the night is very long. Something I must hear before I pass along. I join the brotherhood, my books were all to me. Describe the words of God and much of history. Many years I watched out upon the sea. The waves would wash my tears, wind my memory. I'd hear the ocean tempest blood, its wrath I would endure. And so the years went by within my rocky cell, with only a mouse or a bird, my friend, I love them well. And so it came to here to Romany, many here it took till I arrived here with thee. Dusty roads I walked, and over mountains high, through rivers running deep beneath the endless sky.
Ob stürmt oder schneit, ob die Sonne uns lacht, der Park leben heiß oder eiskalt die Nacht.
Schaut sind die Gesichter, doch wo